Hello everybody, it's Tani Wolf here and welcome to the first week of this latest term of Total Body Freedom classes, our April 2011 term. So I just want to start by welcoming those of you who are on the class live tonight, and I also want to welcome those of you who are maybe doing it in a different time zone live, and also those of you who are doing it later on in the week by listening to the recording. Whenever you do it, that's great, although obviously if you are on the class live, it's helpful because then you can ask me questions as we're going if something doesn't make sense to you. So I just want to start by testing the audio quality to check people can hear me. There's only a few people on the class at the moment because I think some people are still dialing in. So those of you who are there, if you can hear me okay, just press 1 on your phone or on your computer keypad. If I sound really weird or distorted, then press 2. Okay, I'm getting some ones come up. Fantastic. That means everyone can hear me fairly well. With this technology, sometimes it can be a bit funny. And if you find that you drop off the call for some reason during the class, then just take a deep breath and call back in straight away. And also, if by any chance for some weird reason my Skype connection cuts out and I drop off the call and I stop talking for, say, more than 30 seconds, it probably means I'm not giving you a rest. It probably means I've dropped off the call. So just wait and I will call straight back in as soon as I realize that I'm no longer on Skype. That's very rare that that happens, but just wanted to let you know just in case. Also, those of you who are on the call live, if you have any questions during the class or if something is painful or uncomfortable for you to do, please press 5 on your phone or your computer keypad and then I'll be able to help you personally with what's going on, which is also a really great chance for everyone else to learn as well. But the great thing about these classes is they actually are designed to be extremely gentle. So it's extremely unlikely that something will be too painful for you. But on the other hand, there are some people who have signed up for this class who have quite significant pain and injury happening and maybe in some pain. So you're just going to need to look after yourselves in this class. So I just want to give you some tips because it is the first week and I know some of you may not have done Feldenkrais classes with me before. Some of you have. But the tips are really useful even if you've heard them before because they're really fundamental things. The first thing I'll say is this is not a stretching class, it's not a muscle building class, and it's not an exercise burning fat, get your cardio rate up kind of class. Really what we're doing in these Total Body Freedom teleclasses, which are based on the cutting edge Feldenkrais method, is we are rewiring your patterns of movement. We're essentially rewiring your brain. So we're going to be working with the brain and the nervous system, which means our brains are going to be learning a lot while we do the class. Now, in order for our brains to learn, we need to do the movements very slowly so that we can pick up information about what we're doing as we go. So we can start to develop some awareness of our movement patterns, of the things that are going on in our body that maybe are causing us stiffness or pain or discomfort or restricting our movements or stopping us from being as free and athletic as we might otherwise be. So my biggest tip is to do the movements really slowly. Basically do them in slow motion. Like, you know, if you're watching a video and you press slow motion on your video machine, that's how slowly we do the movements. And also do the movements really, really gently. You could imagine if you were moving a baby, how gently, how sweetly would you move that baby? You wouldn't, you know, push and shove, you'd be very gentle. So move yourself with the same kind of loving care and gentleness that you would move if you were playing with a kitten or a baby. And do the movement small. So it's not about stretching, it's not about reaching. If I asked you to reach your arm up, you would just do the very beginning part of the reaching movement to see how your arm's moving. It's not about reaching as far as you can or stretching. So we'll be doing the movements very slowly, very gently, and very small. And the next tip I'll say is to please make sure to take rests. I'll be giving you lots of rests during the lesson anyway, and it's during the rests really that your brain is integrating a lot of the movement explorations that you've been doing. But I really encourage you to rest even more often than I say to rest, especially if you have pain or injuries or if we're working with a part of your body that's uncomfortable. You could just simply stop, rest for 10, 20 seconds, and then do the movements again. Now, if it's still not comfortable for you, for example, when I first started doing Feldenkrais, I was in severe chronic pain. Excuse me, I couldn't turn my head, I couldn't walk, I couldn't sit, and I could hardly do any movements. So what my teachers used to say to me is just do things so small and so tiny that someone watching you would hardly even be able to notice that you were moving. And if that's still not comfortable for you, then just do them in your imagination. And I was really fascinated by this. And a few times I did full Feldenkrais lessons for a whole hour in my imagination. And at the end, my body would feel completely different and my movements had dramatically improved. Because we are working with the brain. So as long as you're imagining the movements, your brain is still learning how to reorganize those patterns more efficiently. If you can do the movements just a tiny bit and gently, then that's great. But please don't push. And it's actually fine to just do the movement once with a lot of awareness and then rest, rather than doing 10 or 20 movements with no awareness. It's actually much better just to do one. So just really listen to yourself. One of the things you'll be learning in this 5-week term is not just how to move, but also how to listen to your body, how to give yourself permission to rest, how to start to use awareness and sensitivity and listening to yourself as a guide for getting out of pain, rather than the normal pattern that we have, which is pushing ourselves and ignoring our bodies. And I really know that one well. That's how I ended up quite crippled with pain. So I really know where you're all at, so don't worry about it. So to do the classes, you'll need to be lying on the floor. So I encourage you, if you can, have a space where you could lie down, maybe on a blanket or a couple of towels or maybe two yoga mats next to each other. And always have a towel handy in case we want to put a towel behind our head. And if possible, have some space around the area, because I usually will ask you to walk around at the beginning and the end of the lesson. So let's start with that now. I'm going to ask you all to come up to standing. And actually just go for a little walk around your space. And as you walk, I want you to notice, do you feel any movement in your shoulders? Does one shoulder go forward or back more than the other? Or do they feel quite straight, like they're not turning much? Whatever you notice is fine. Notice how your two arms are swinging. Does one arm swing a little bit more than the other, maybe? And again, all these questions are just for your own information. There's really no right or wrong answers. And do you sense any kind of movement through your spine as you walk? Now, that's a really subtle question. And for those of you who are new to this work, don't worry if you don't have an answer or if you can't feel anything. It's just the beginning of an inquiry. So do you sense any movement in your spine or in your back? Somewhere in your back as you walk. And then come to standing still somewhere, somewhere quietly. You could even have your eyes closed as you stand. Now just start by sensing the weight on your two feet. Do you feel like you're standing more on your left leg or more on your right leg? And notice your two shoulders. Do you feel like one shoulder is a bit further forward than the other? Another question to ask is, do you feel like your chest is turned a little bit to the left or to the right? You could imagine actually that there was a torch beam coming out of your chest. Do you feel like the torch beam shines straight forwards, or is it shining a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right? And everybody's body is organized differently, so you may sense something different than another person does. Now what I'd like you to do is, without lifting your feet and moving your feet, keeping your feet fairly still, I'd like you to just gently turn yourself to look to one side as if you wanted to look behind you, but just do a small movement so it's not a stretch. Just a small movement of turning to one side. Notice, do you choose the left or the right? Just as if you wanted to look behind you a little bit in that direction. And just notice which parts of your body are moving as you turn. So particularly if you have a sore neck, just do this very small. For some of you might sense it's your head that's turning as you look behind you. Some of you might sense your shoulders are turning or your chest. Some of you might even feel your legs are somehow involved or your pelvis. Whatever you're doing is fine. Just notice it. And maybe do that a second time, really, really slowly. Which parts of your body are involved in this turning to the side to look behind you? And also, how far do you go easily without stretching? And then slowly come back to the middle. And now compare what it's like to go to the other side, the side that you didn't choose, And just notice, why did you choose this side second? Is it less easy? Is it easier? How far do you go easily without stretching? Where do your eyes look? And slowly come back and then do that again. And on this direction, which parts of your body seem to be involved? Is it just the head? Do you feel something lower down is involved as you look behind you to that direction? And then let that go and come and lie down on the floor on your mat. You're welcome to put a towel behind your head if that makes it more comfortable for you. And those of you who have a sore lower back, you're welcome to have your knees bent. That's absolutely fine. But if you're comfortable to have your legs long, then lie with your legs long. And we're just going to continue doing another bit of testing or scanning of how our body's organized. Because in these classes, what's wonderful is we do a bit of a snapshot at the beginning of how our body's organized, how it's moving, how our posture is organized. And then we do all these clever little movements, and at the end we re-scan, and we tend to find that it's lying and moving quite differently. So it's kind of worth taking that time at the beginning. So starting by lying on the floor, start by sensing the back of your two shoulders. Do you feel like one shoulder is wider or heavier or more spread out, or maybe it's sinking into the floor differently somehow than the other shoulder? Now again, for those of you who are new, these are very subtle questions, so whatever you notice is fine. Notice your two arms and how they're lying on the floor. Does one arm seem further away or closer to your body? Are your elbows bent or straight? Are your palms on the floor or the back of your hands or the sides of your hands? And I guarantee that if I could see all of you around the world, everybody's arms would be lying very differently, which would reflect how differently all of our shoulders and chests are organized. And now notice your elbows and how they contact the floor. And then above your elbows, your upper arm, how much of your right upper arm is on the floor and how much of your left upper arm is on the floor? And is there a difference between the two? Just another way to sense the way the shoulders are lying. We're going to be doing a lot today with the upper back and shoulders to shift those patterns there. And now sense your upper back. Do you feel like you're heavier on the left side of your upper back or the right side? Notice the back of your chest, the back of your waist. Does one side feel heavier? Notice the arch of your lower back. Now, some people have a very large arch. You could almost slide a hand under their back. Some people's lower backs are quite flat. There's no right or wrong. Just sense for yourself, how high is your arch today? And then sense your pelvis, the big round bone of your pelvis lying on the floor. Does it feel like it's tilted to the left or tilted to the right? If you have your legs long, start to sense the space behind each of your knees. Is there more space behind one knee or the other knee? Start to sense how your two heels are lying on the floor. And if your feet are standing, your knees are bent, and just sense the way the two feet are touching the floor. Does one feel heavier than the other? And then everybody, go ahead and bend your knees, stand your feet so you're knees and feet are shoulder width apart. And now bring your arms straight up into the air with the elbows straight. And now touch your palms together as if you were clapping. So your elbows are straight. Your palms are touching as if they were clapping. Every part of your fingers are touching each other so there's no gaps. So your palms are touching, your thumbs, your fingers are all touching each other. Just gently. No need to press the hands together or interlace them. They're just gently touching as if they're gently clapping. And in this lesson, when I ask you to put your arms into this triangle position, I want you to always check that your elbows are straight. It's one of the constraints we're going to be working with in this lesson, which will require the spine to learn some new things. So your elbows are straight, your palms are together, and have your hands pretty much over your mouth or your nose, rather than down over your belly button or up over the top of your head. So they're pretty much straight up. And you'll notice that your two arms and your chest make a kind of triangle in space. And what I want you to do is just very small, gentle movement. Take that triangle a little bit to the right. Whatever's possible for you, it might just be 1 millimeter or a tenth of an inch, whatever feels easy. And slowly bring that triangle back to the middle. And we're going to just do that a few times, but really in slow motion. Seeing what's possible at the very start of the lesson. And we're going to see this movement really improve as we go through the lesson. Just a couple of times, very slowly, taking your triangle a bit to the right, and then bringing it back to the middle, and then let your arms come down and have a rest. Now we're going to be doing quite a lot of movements today with the arms in the air, so those of you who have issues with shoulder pain, I'm really going to encourage you to take rest, and don't wait for me to say rest. Just rest as soon as you need to. When I first did this lesson, I had terrible upper back and shoulder pain, and I used to just take my arms up and do one movement, and then I'd let them rest, and that's fine. I still improved dramatically. So let's do that movement again. Bring your arms up into the air with the elbows straight, the palms together. Starting to take your triangle over to the right. Now this time, what I'd like you to do is notice what's happening with your head. So as you take your triangle to the right, is there anything happening in your head? Does it stay still or does it move? The next time you do the movement, I'd like you to imagine a piece of string was attached from your nose to your thumbs. So as you take this triangle to the right, your head gently rolls a little bit to the right. And just notice if that changes the movement at all. For some people, you might find you go a fraction further. Now, you're welcome to have your eyes closed if that allows you to relax a little bit more and pay a little bit more attention to your body. So for most people, I'd suggest closing your eyes. But if you find it uncomfortable to close your eyes, then you're welcome to keep them open. So just taking your arms very gently to the right and back to the middle, and then let your arms rest again just beside you on the floor. Now, did you happen to notice what your shoulders were doing during that movement? So we're going to do it again now. We're going to pay attention to our shoulders. So bring your arms back up into the triangle position with the elbows straight, the palms together. Start to slowly take the triangle to the right, letting your head roll to the right, and allow that left shoulder to peel away from the floor a little bit. And notice that that allows the triangle to go a tiny bit further. And then as the triangle comes back to the middle, your left shoulder finds its way back to the floor, and you come back to the beginning. And at no point are you pushing or using willpower. The great thing about Feldenkrais is we're not using willpower. It's not a stretching class. We're using very clever ways of working with the brain to help you discover some of your patterns and learn some new ones, and we don't need willpower for that. So just stay in a range that's really, really easy and gentle, feels nice for you, that you could do for many, many hours if you had to, so that you'd never get tired. That's the sort of range of movement I'm talking about. And now start to pay attention to what's happening in your right shoulder. So as the triangle goes to the right, you could imagine that your right shoulder was sinking into the floor, as if it was sinking into some sand or some snow or something soft. And feel how as your left shoulder lifts, your right shoulder kind of sinks or melts a little bit into the floor. And as your arms come back to the middle, both shoulders come back to neutral. And just notice if paying attention a little bit to the shoulders has made this movement a little bit more possible for you. And maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. And then let your arms go and have a nice rest with your arms by your sides. You're welcome to lengthen your legs if that's comfortable for you. But of course, if it's painful for you to have your legs long, then keep them bent. You might just want to change where you have your feet or rest your knees against each other. Just taking a nice rest, and while you rest, sense the way the back of your shoulders are contacting the floor. As this lesson goes on, you may start to find that your body's contacting the floor a little bit differently. Sometimes that can be quite surprising, so just be open to that possibility. Maybe one shoulder feels wider or heavier, or in some way different from the other. Now, once again, bend your knees, stand your feet on the floor, And this time, cross your left leg over your right. And have them really well crossed, like women cross their legs. So a lot of men, when they do this, they just rest their left ankle on their right knee, and there's a big gap between the two thighs. But we want you to cross your legs like women do. The whole of your left thigh will be touching the whole of your right thigh, and your left foot and lower leg will just be dangling down. With your legs crossed like this, I'd like you to see what it's like without stretching, just a small movement, to tilt your two knees a little bit to the left and just see what's possible. How far do you go easily without willpower or stretching? And it may just be like half an inch or tenth of an inch or a couple of millimeters, that's fine. Slowly come back to the middle. Now, the next time you do this, I'd like you to pay attention to what's happening under your right foot. So your left leg is crossed over your right foot is on the floor. As your knees tilt to the left, notice how the weight shifts a little bit under your left foot toward the inside edge of your foot. And then as your knees come slowly back towards the middle, your foot starts to sit more neutrally on the floor. It comes back to its normal position. And then as you tilt your knees to the left again really slowly, your foot rolls a little bit so that your weight comes more onto the inside edge of your foot. Now what I'd like you to do is each time you do this tilting movement, just go the tiniest bit further, just a tiny bit further each time, and start to notice what's happening under your pelvis. So as your knees tilt a little bit to the left, what happens under your pelvis? Which side of your pelvis lifts from the floor? Which side of your pelvis gets heavier? And as your knees come back to the middle, notice how your pelvis finds its way back to the middle. As your knees tilt over to the left, the weight shifts under your foot. Your pelvis tilts a little bit to the left. And notice how also your belly button maybe rolls a little bit to the left. You can allow that to happen. Come back to the middle. Your belly button comes back to the middle. And then just pause, let that go. Uncross your legs and rest with your legs either long or bent, whatever's more comfortable. Of course, if you're resting before I said rest, that's wonderful. The most advanced Feldenkrais students, the only difference between them and you is that they take more rests. They don't do the movements bigger. They actually do them smaller and they take more rests. So the more rest you're taking, that's great. And notice as you're resting, how is your pelvis lying on the floor now? Might feel a bit different, or maybe not. Once again, bend your knees, stand your feet, have them somewhere shoulder width apart. Bring your arms up into that same triangle position. And let's just see what it's like to take your triangle with the elbows straight, the palms touching each other, the palms somewhere up over your face. Let's see what it's like to take your triangle to the right now, after having played a little bit with the lower part of the body. Allowing your shoulder, your left shoulder to peel away from the floor. Your eyes follow your head. And then everything comes back to the middle. Now I'd like you to pay attention to your chest. You could imagine there was a torch beam coming out of your chest. As you take your triangle over to the right, you can allow your chest to turn to the right so your torch beam starts to shine to the right. As you bring your arms back to the middle, torch beam in your chest starts to shine straight up to the ceiling. And just notice as you allow your chest to turn, your spine starts to rotate a little bit. And some of you might be finding that you're actually able to take your triangle a little bit further than you were at the start, still without having to use any willpower, just because your brain is starting to learn how to organize this a little bit more intelligently. And then let your arms come down again, have a rest. Once again, notice how your two shoulders are contacting the floor. And now cross your left leg over your right in that cross-legged position. And once again, do that movement of tilting your two knees to the left a little bit, letting your feet roll inwards a little bit, your right foot rolls inwards, your pelvis rolls a bit to the left, your belly button rolls into the left a little bit. And maybe even you could imagine that torch beam coming out of your chest starts to shine over to the left. As your knees come back to the middle, this torch beam in your chest shines up to the ceiling. So just play with that for a few movements. As you take your knees to the left, your foot rolls a little bit, your pelvis rolls to the left, your belly button rolls to the left, and the torch beam coming out of your chest is now rolling, shining a little bit over to the left. And you might even find a bit more weight comes onto the left side of your back and shoulders, and the right side of your torso gets a bit lighter. Then as your knees come back to the middle, everything evens up again in terms of your contact with the floor. And just playing with that, and some of you might even find your head starts to move a little bit. You might even sense that your chin gets drawn down and to the left in the direction that your left knee is pointing. And you can allow that to happen if that feels nice for you. If you're still doing the movement very, very small, then your head probably won't need to be involved. But if you're doing a bigger movement by now, some of you, it may feel nice to allow the head to join in so the chin gets drawn down and to the left. And then as you come back to the middle, your head returns to neutral. And then let that go. Let your legs rest with the legs long or bent. And just sense for a moment how everything is lying on the floor. We've only done a few minutes of actual moving. We did a lot of scanning at the beginning, but you might already be able to tell that some things are lying a bit differently on the floor. Maybe your pelvis is lying a bit differently, or your shoulders. Or you might sense your lower back is more arched or less arched. And the more gently you do these lessons without any willpower or stretching, the more profound the changes are going to be. It's pretty much the opposite of anything else you've ever done. Usually you're told no pain, no gain. You can't get anywhere without hard work. The more you push, the better things will go. What you start to learn as you go deeply into the Feldenkrais method is that actually the more cleverly you work, the more you listen to yourself, the more you organize your movements efficiently, the easier and easier your life gets, the more powerfully and easily you can move, and you don't actually have to use all that willpower and efforting to have a very successful life, and certainly not to have a very successful and free, effortless, pain-free body. But it's very different to what we normally hear, that we have to push and stretch and use willpower and take lots of effort. So the more you do these classes, the more you're going to start to learn that actually the path to real body freedom and, in fact, real life freedom is treating yourself gently and listening to yourself and working more intelligently rather than with effort. So bend your knees, stand your feet, have your feet shoulder width apart. Bring your arms up into that triangle position and with your elbows straight, your palms together, and just once take your triangle to the right. Let your chest turn, your shoulders, your head roll, and just notice how is that movement going. All we've done is do a little bit of stuff with the lower body, but some of you might notice that it's actually improved your upper body by working with the lower body. And then take a rest, keep your legs bent. If you imagine you've just washed a towel and you hold the towel and you want to wring out the water from the towel, just imagine doing that. You would turn one hand one way and you turn the other hand the other way. And so the whole towel is making the same twist. You turn your right hand to the right, your left hand to the left. So what we're doing in this lesson is essentially the same thing. Imagine the spine is that towel, your spine is that towel. We're playing with rotating the top half of the towel to the right, bottom half of the towel to the left, but it's actually still the same twist. So by freeing up one part of it, it actually impacts and affects and improves the other part because it's all the same movement. We're just coming at it cleverly from different ends rather than just trying to do the same thing over and over and hope that willpower and brute force will improve it. We're using a bit of cleverness to improve it. Now what I'd like you to do is lengthen your left leg. So your right leg is bent, your left leg is long. Bring your arm back up into that triangle position and see what it's like to take your triangle to the right with your left leg long and your right leg bent. Now this is a constraint, so you probably find you don't go as far. So please don't push it, just notice what is possible. Just be curious. Now I've changed my legs, how is that going to affect my rotation of my spine? Some of you might find you're doing a much, much smaller movement now, and that's okay. There's no need to push or stretch. And then pause, lower your arms down, and swap your legs over. So now your right leg is long, your left leg is bent. Bring your arms up into a triangle position, and just be curious to see what will be different now. All you've changed is your legs. Just notice if that changes your ability to rotate your spine and take your triangle to the right. And you might find it's a little bit easier with your legs organized this way. And then pause, lower your arms by your sides, give your arms a rest, but keep your left leg standing. Your right left knee is pointing to the ceiling, your right leg is long. And now what I'd like you to do is very slowly and gently press your left foot into the floor to roll your pelvis a little bit to the right. And then slowly unpress your left foot and your pelvis will roll back to the middle. So to make this easier for you, as you press your left foot into the floor, rolling your pelvis to the right, invite your right leg to roll to the right. So your right knee, your right foot will roll to the right. The pelvis and belly button will roll a bit to the right. You're slowly and gradually pressing that foot into the floor and slowly and gradually unpressing the foot. You could imagine you were driving your car and you're wanting to slow your car down towards a red light. And you're pressing really slowly down onto that brake pedal so that you slowly just slide up to that red light really gently. That's the way I'd like you to press your left foot. So you're really pressing slowly and gradually, feeling your pelvis roll to the right, your right leg roll to the right. Some of you might find that you're tilting your left knee over to the right as well. That's okay. But now, the next time you come back to the middle, pause. I just want to add an extra detail, and if it makes sense to you, then that's fine. Actually, I've just noticed something pop up on my screen, so I just want to check that everyone can still hear me. If you guys can hear me, those of you who are on the call live, please press 1. Just want to check that the call is still connected. Excellent. Okay, so people have pressed 1. That's great. Sorry, I just saw something flash up on my screen. I thought I'd better check because I hope I haven't been disconnected. So that's beautiful. So coming back to this position with your left leg standing, left foot on the floor, your right leg long. This time, as you press your foot into the floor and roll your pelvis to the right, I want you to think of sending your left knee forwards over your left foot, away from your head. So you press your left foot into the floor and you send your left knee away from you as you roll your pelvis and your right leg and your belly button to the right. And you might feel that something has to open in the front of your left hip to allow this to happen. And then you slowly roll back to the middle. Now, if that doesn't make sense for you, don't worry about that detail. The main thing is that you're pressing your foot into the floor and your pelvis, your right leg, your belly button, even your chest are rolling a little bit to the right. And then come back to the middle. Let your pelvis rest. Keep your legs in this position. And now bring your arms up into your lovely triangle position with the elbows straight, the palms together. What I'd like you to do is keeping your pelvis on the floor, don't push through your left foot. Just see what it's like to take your triangle and your chest and your face slowly to the right. And once you've gone as far as you can go with your upper body, then start to press your left foot into the floor to roll your pelvis, and you'll find that that allows your triangle to go even further. Some of you might find your triangle can even come closer to the floor. It may even touch the floor, but please don't stretch. Don't use willpower. However far your arms go is fine. And then slowly bring everything slowly back to the middle. And we're going to be quite clear with ourselves that we're taking the upper body over first. So you're going to take your chest, your triangle, your face to the right first. Once they've gone as far as they can go, then start to press through your left foot to roll your pelvis and your right leg to the right. And you can pretty much roll all the way over until you're virtually lying on your side. Your palm is somewhere close to the floor. Sorry, your palm, the back of your hand, your right hand, somewhere close to the floor, and then everything slowly finds its way back up to the middle. So now we're allowing the pelvis to help this movement of rotation of the spine, still remembering to let your head roll to the right, your chest roll to the right. And then the next time you're in the middle, pause, let everything go, lengthen out your left leg and have a rest. Just notice now how your chest is lying on the floor. Maybe take a nice deep breath in. We didn't do that at the beginning, but just see how much room you have for breathing now in your chest, your upper ribs. That might have changed a little bit. Usually when we do this lesson, a lot of the upper back, the thoracic spine, the ribs start to let go. For some people, letting go of patterns that have been there for 10 or 20 years can change in this one lesson. And you might find you start to have more room for breathing available. When we have more room for breathing available, then we can get more oxygen into our system. Of course, on top of that, your spine can move freely. You can move and walk and run and dance and bend more easily and have much less pain. But also, when the ribs are free, you can breathe more freely. You can get more oxygen into your blood, which is great for so many things, your general health, your mental health. So it's very powerful, the rewiring work you're doing. So really give yourself some gratitude for having taken an hour out of your week just to listen gently to these subtle movements of your own body. Now once again, bend your knees and cross your left leg over your right. And let's see how working with the upper half of the towel of our spine has helped the lower half of the towel. Start to tilt your two knees over to the left, noticing what happens under your right foot, what happens under your pelvis, what happens through your chest, your shoulders. Does your head get drawn down a little bit to the left? And you might find this movement has increased, or maybe it's the same size, but it feels easier. Maybe it feels like it's organized more efficiently now, or more of you is involved now. So I'm not that fussed about the size of the movement, more about how well it's organized. And then the next time your knees are pointing to the ceiling, pause. Now take your left arm and lie it on the floor above your head, wherever is possible, somewhere where your elbow is comfortably on the floor. So you might need to bend your arm. If your shoulder's feeling a bit stiff, you can just bend your arm. But your left arm is basically somewhere above your head on the floor. So your arm is now out of the way. With your arm out of the way, see what it's like to tilt your two knees to the left. You might feel that you're rolling a little bit onto your left shoulder as you do this. Again, without stretching, without pushing. And then slowly bring your knees back to the middle. And then tilt your knees over to the left again, slowly. The next time your knees are far over to the left, wherever they're comfortably resting, pause there. And just slowly and gently slide your left arm back to its normal position beside you. And then bring your knees back up to the ceiling and pause. And now with your arms in their normal position, just once more, see what it's like to tilt your knees to the left. And then back to the middle and then let it go and have a rest. And so we've just been doing one direction of rotation so far. But even with just that much of the lesson being finished, notice now how your body's lying on the floor. Your two arms, your two shoulders, back of your chest, your upper back, the back of your pelvis. Some of you might be finding it's now a bit easier to lie with your legs long because the lower back is a little bit less arched or engaged now. And now I'm going to ask you to roll to your side and slowly bring yourself up to sitting. And then slowly come up to standing. Just take your time. Slowly coming up to standing. We are going to finish the lesson, but I just want to give you this experience of coming up to standing. And now just standing with your eyes open. Just retest that movement of turning to look behind you and just start by turning to the right. And notice as you turn to the right, could you allow your right shoulder to go back as your left shoulder comes forward, and allowing your chest to be part of this movement. And some of you might even find that your pelvis is turning a little bit to the right as well to help you. And just notice, can you turn a little bit further now? Or maybe you're turning the same distance, but it feels like more of yourself is involved somehow. Maybe you don't feel like you have to do as much work with your neck. This is a more intelligent organization of this movement now. A little bit more efficient, a little bit easier. And then come back to the middle and see what it's like to turn yourself to the left to look behind you. And you might feel how that just somehow doesn't feel as nice. Now, if your left direction was much easier at the start, you may find they've evened up. If they were fairly even at the start, you'll probably find that this direction is not as easy. But just notice not just the range of movement, how well coordinated does this feel? How effortless is it? How much of you is involved to go to the left? And then come back down slowly onto the floor. And I'm going to assume that most people sensed a difference there because I've taught this lesson many, many times around the world. And it is fairly common to feel a difference. But if you didn't feel a difference, don't worry, because it may be that you'll feel a difference at the end when we walk, or maybe when you're lying on the floor, the body might be lying a bit differently, or you may just be feeling more calmer or more relaxed. Bend your knees, stand your feet, bring your arms up into the triangle position. And now let's start to explore taking our triangle to the left without trying to recreate what happened on the other side. Just be open and curious to what's possible on the left. Don't push it or try and match the other side. Just start small and gently, respecting your body and listening to your body. And start to notice from the very beginning, could you allow your head to roll with your arms? Could you allow your right shoulder to peel away from the floor and your left shoulder to sink into the floor? And as you come back to the middle, allowing everything, the shoulders and the head to come back to the middle. Remembering to keep your elbows straight and your palms gently together and your hands somewhere up above your mouth or your nose. And then exploring that again, allowing your chest to turn to the left, as if there was a torch beam in your chest. And is any of the stuff that we learnt on the other side starting to be transferred across to help this side be more intelligent from the very beginning? So we usually find in Feldenkrais lessons we don't have to spend as much time on the second side because we're not working with lifting weights or stretching. We're working with the brain. And your brain can transfer the information very quickly from one side to the other. And so let that go, pause, lengthen your arms. And now cross your right leg over your left, have it well crossed, both thighs touching each other and the right foot dangling down. And now just start to see once or twice very gently what it feels like to tilt your two knees to the right, just without stretching, just to see what does it feel like on this side? How is it different from the other side? Not trying to replicate the other side, but asking the question, how is it different from the other side? Everybody's pelvis is much easier to turn one direction than the other. Everybody's chest is more available to turn one direction than the other. So it gives you a chance to really feel that. And now start to sense what's happening under your left foot. As you take your pelvis to the right, as you take your pelvis back to the middle. And also, what's happening under your pelvis? Could you allow your pelvis to start to roll a little bit to the right, allowing your belly button to roll a little bit to the right? And as you come back to the middle, everything slowly comes back to the middle, the foot, the pelvis, the belly button. And now start to imagine that torch beam in your chest that's shining up to the ceiling. As you tilt your knees to the right, very gently and slowly allowing that torch beam to roll to the right a little bit as if it was going to shine over to the right. And notice how when you start to include your chest in the movement, it changes the quality of the movement. With some people, it might even change the range of the movement. But notice how it feels easier. And let's just make that really clear. So come back to the middle. What I want you to do is tense up your chest. So just stiffen your chest a little bit. That's how most people hold their chest during the day. So just tense your chest. And now see what it's like to tilt your knees to the right. And you'll probably find they don't go very far and it doesn't feel very nice. And then let that go and let your chest be nice and free again. And now tilt your knees to the right, letting your chest be nice and free, letting your chest turn a bit to the right. And notice how much easier that is. Beautiful. And then let that go. Lengthen your legs and have a rest. Because we are working with the brain, it's really nice to do some contrasting movements. Sometimes we go back into the old patterns just so your brain can really experience the old habit and then compare it to the new habit. And usually your brain will choose the one that feels best. So it just got to feel what happens when we tense our chest and work against ourselves and interfere with our natural movement. And then got to feel what it feels like to let the chest be part of the movement. And it's probably likely your brain will choose the easier one in the future, now that it's had that experience. And just notice now how your two legs are lying on the floor. Maybe it's getting a bit easier to have your legs long. Notice the back of the pelvis on both sides. The back of the shoulder on both, two shoulders. And now very gently roll your head. Just a small, gentle movement, rolling your head a little bit to the left. And slowly roll your head back through the middle. And roll it a little bit to the right, very gently, like how would you roll a baby's head? Now, we didn't do this movement before, so you can't compare it to anything. But I'm sure many of you are aware of how stiff your neck usually feels. And just notice how it's feeling now. Does it feel a little bit more free or available? Maybe it's a little smoother than usual. And then let that go. Bend your knees. Stand your feet shoulder width apart. Bring your arms back up into your triangle position. And now let's go back to that idea of taking the triangle to the left. Letting your head roll to the left, your right shoulder peels away from the floor, your left shoulder sinks into the floor, your head and eyes follow your hand. And then come back to the middle. And when your arms are in the middle, pause there and just lengthen your right leg. And now your legs are organized so your pelvis can't help you, basically. So with your legs like this, the right leg long, the left leg bent, just see what it's like to take your triangle a little bit to the left. It probably won't go very far because now your pelvis is working against you. It's not able to roll to the left. So really, the only thing that can help you is your upper spine. So the movement will be smaller. So just slowly, a couple of times, allowing your shoulders, your chest, your face to be part of the movement. Even though it's a tiny movement, you can still include everything here. And then let your arms rest by your side. And while they're resting, slowly swap your legs over. Now your right knee is bent, your left leg is long. And while you're resting your arms, let's just play a couple of times with the idea of pressing your right foot into the floor to slowly roll your pelvis to the left. Your left leg rolls to the left like a rolling pin. Your belly button rolls a little bit to the left. Your chest rolls a tiny bit to the left, and then you slowly unpress your foot, and your pelvis finds its way back to the middle. And how is this different than the other side? Slowly pressing your right foot as if you were pressing down on a brake pedal, slowly coming to a stop at a red light, and then slowly unpressing your foot. And if it makes sense to you, you could add that idea in of sending your knee forwards away from you in the direction of over your foot rather than tilting your knee to the left. Notice how that requires the right hip to open a little bit, just if that makes sense for you. If it doesn't, don't worry. And then rest with your legs in this position. And now bring your arms back up into the triangle position with the elbows straight, the palms together. And once again, just doing the upper body first, so without pressing your foot into the floor, take your triangle over to the left just as far as it goes easily, and then pause and then press your right foot into the floor to roll your pelvis, your leg, your belly button, your chest, and everything, and you might end up rolling a bit onto your left side, and your triangle comes closer to the floor. And then you slowly unpress your foot, your pelvis rolls back, your shoulders roll back, and everything comes back to the middle with your triangle pointing to the ceiling. And then you start again, taking your triangle first, your chest, your shoulders, your face to the left, and then starting to press that left foot. And now we're going to add an extra detail, which is that as you tilt over to the left, I want you to think of your fingertips and your left toes moving away from each other. So the whole front surface of your body gets longer like a cat, and there's a very gentle arch through your whole body. And then as you come back to the middle, everything comes back to neutral. I have a pussycat here called Mojo, who all my clients have got to know really well, and he often lies on the floor in that position with his whole body in that lovely big long arch. So as you take the triangle to the left, your pelvis rolls to the left, as the arms come closer to the floor, you can send your arms up away from your feet. So it's like the whole front of you gets longer, longer, longer. Your belly gets nice and long, and there's a gentle arch through your back. And then you slowly come back to the middle. And then let it go. Lengthen your right leg, lengthen your arms, and have a nice rest. Ah. And while you're resting, just notice, how do your two shoulders lie on the floor now? How do your two arms lie on the floor? Back of your chest, back of your pelvis. And then bend your knees, stand your feet, cross your right leg over your left. And now just tilt your knees to the right, letting your pelvis roll to the right, your belly button, even your chest. You might be starting to feel that your head wants to come along, so you can let your chin get drawn down and to the left. Your chin and nose are pointing downwards and to the left. And then you slowly come back to the middle. The next time you're in the middle, pause there and just bring your right arm up over your head on the floor behind you so that your arm's out of the way and you can have your elbow bent. That's fine, just somewhere comfortable. And now with your arm out of the way, see what it's like to tilt your knees over to the right and feel how your weight shifts onto your right shoulder blade a little bit. As your knees are like a lever and they turn your pelvis and they turn your spine a bit to the right. And a bit of weight comes onto that right shoulder and slowly coming back to the middle. So we never stop in the middle of a Feldenkrais movement. It's not a stretch. You're always continuously moving. So you slowly tilt your knees to the right, and then before they hit the wall or any kind of stretch, they're already coming back to the middle, nice and slowly. And then slide your arm down back to a normal position beside you and see what it's like to tilt your knees to the right now. Now for some people, doing that movement with the arm out of the way will make a huge difference. For others, it will make no difference. It really depends on how your shoulder girdle is organized. And now leave that, lengthen your legs and have a rest. And just noticing now, how does your body lie on the floor? And now for the last time, bend your knees and stand your feet. Bring your arms up into the triangle position. And just see what it's like now to tilt your triangle to the left. You might even want to press your right foot into the floor a little bit. Your left knee might tilt to the left. See if you can keep your right knee pointing to the ceiling. But notice as you allow your foot and your pelvis and your chest and your collarbones and your arms, your face and everything to help you, how you're probably going a little bit further now or maybe the same amount, but it feels easier. And then come back through the middle and continue taking your triangle over to the right. And as you do, you can press your left foot into the floor, roll your pelvis to the right, your chest to the right, your face, your eyes, belly button. Your right knee might tilt a little bit to the right.
And just notice what's possible now. Now give yourself credit for how much improvement there is since the very start of the lesson. Pause in the middle, and I want you to just do what you did the very, very first movement. So just take your triangle, that 1 or 2 millimeters that was possible at the beginning, to remind yourself, and then take yourself as far as you can go now easily, and notice how you're not using any more willpower, but you're going further, or maybe it feels easier, just because you've changed the way your brain is basically coordinating the movement. You've changed the instructions that your brain is sending to your bones and your muscles and your ligaments. Your body is now coordinated more efficiently. The only difference between elite athletes and everyone else is that their brain sends more intelligent instructions to their body to organize their movements more efficiently, more powerfully, faster, less pain. And you can see that now. Most people probably can find that you're going further, or maybe it just feels easier without any more effort. And then let that go and take a final scan lying on your back with your arms long, your legs long. And please don't skip over this final part of the class, because in many ways it's the most important part. Because it's when your brain starts to integrate and really notice the changes. So I'm really going to ask you every week to stay on until the very end of the class. It's actually the most crucial part. So just start by noticing the back of your two shoulders, the two sides of your upper back, the two sides of your chest, the way the arms, the lower arms, the upper arms, the elbow, the hands are contacting the floor. They may be quite different now. The two sides of the pelvis, the back of your two legs. And now notice the space behind your lower back. The actual name for this lesson, the technical name Moshe Feldenkrais gave it, is coordination of the flexors and extensors. So as we start to rotate our body more intelligently, the end result is that we're coordinating the muscles that bend us at the front, the flexors, with the muscles that extend or arch us at the back, the extensors. And the result is that we can turn more easily. It also means that all that overworking of arching that happens in many people's lower backs will probably have lessened for many of you. So you might experience that as feeling a bit flatter. And take a nice deep breath in and just notice how much breath is available now, how much movement is available in your ribs, your chest, under your collarbones, under your armpits. Nice. And then finish with just slowly rolling your head in slow motion. You might notice your head is a little bit freer. Your neck is a little bit freer to roll now. We haven't really done too much with the neck today, but we have completely freed up the thoracic spine, the upper back, which will mean that your neck doesn't have to do as much work now because the vertebrae underneath it are now helping, which is why for many of you, you're probably noticing your head is rolling more easily. So now roll yourself to the side and really slowly take your time to come up to sitting and slowly take your time to come up to standing, because your body really is organized very differently than usual right now. So just be aware of how your posture has changed as you come up to standing. So just take a moment to stand with your eyes closed and notice how it feels to stand now. You might be finding that you feel taller or shorter or wider or more expansive or narrower, smaller. There's a million possibilities. Your neck might feel longer, your head might feel lighter, or you might feel more grounded. There's as many possibilities as there are people. Notice the weight on your 2 feet. And notice, does one shoulder feel more forwards than the other? And then open your eyes and just see what it's like to turn yourself to the right, to look behind you, and maybe a little bit more of your body is helping you now. Maybe your pelvis is turning a bit, your shoulders. Maybe you find you can look a little bit further, but without having to push as much, without straining your neck as much. And then come back to the middle and explore doing that to the left. And maybe this side now feels a little bit smoother. You might also find it goes further, but I'm more concerned with the quality of the movement than the range of the movement. Anyone can do a big movement just by pushing or using willpower, but to do a movement that feels effortless, that requires really good brain coordination and organization. And now this time, just pause, and as you go around to the left, actually shift your weight onto your left foot first. So shift your weight onto your left foot and then turn around to the left. And you could even let your right heel swivel a little bit to help you go further around to the left, almost like a golfer. This is how golfers tend to move. And then come back to the middle. Shift your weight onto your right foot and turn around to the right, letting your left heel swivel. And you probably find you can go a lot further than you think. Maybe even can look further behind you than before. And then let that go. And now just go for a gentle walk around your room. And just notice how your two legs are swinging, how your two arms are swinging. Is there a little bit more movement now in the two shoulders? Are they swinging a little bit differently? And also, just start to notice, do you have an awareness now of your upper spine and your chest? We've done a lot of movements today exploring rotation of the upper spine, and that is a very important component of walking or running, or swimming, or tennis, or golf. Most movements like that require our upper back to be able to rotate. So now that you're walking, you might have just a tiny bit more of a sense of your spine rotating, or of your upper back rotating, or maybe just of your chest moving from side to side, your shoulders moving. And you could just exaggerate that as you walk. So you have a bit more of a swagger. Shoulders are moving, your arms are swinging, your chest is going from side to side. And now pause wherever you are, and I want you to stiffen up your chest and don't let your chest or spine move. So everything stays very rigid and just walk. And notice how that feels. Now, for many of you, that may feel familiar, and that's okay. I used to walk like this too, so don't worry. It's basically how 90% of the population walks. You start looking as you walk around the street. Most people's spines and chests are not moving. And now let that go. Woo, let that go and just walk. Feel how your arms can swing. Your chest turns a little bit from side to side. There's a little bit of rotation in your spine. Notice the effect it has on your legs, your hips, your pelvis. And you might also notice, some of you who are sensitive to energy, that your emotional state has changed. As we free up the chest particularly, our emotions can completely change. You might find you're feeling calmer, or you might find you're feeling more assertive, or you might find you're feeling freer. There's a million possibilities, but the organization of the chest is very central to how we carry ourselves through the world, how we assert ourselves, whether we allow ourselves to feel vulnerable or be assertive, and all of these things are dramatically influenced by shifting the body. And much of my interest in the Feldenkrais is shifting away from pain relief and movement to noticing how we can become fully self-actualized people, effective, successful people in the world, by freeing our bodies up. And so I just want to draw your attention to that as well in these lessons. So you might even find your mental state has shifted as well. So I really hope you enjoyed that lesson, particularly those of you who've never done this kind of Feldenkrais work before. It's incredibly powerful. I used it to go from being crippled with back pain, unable to walk 24 hours a day, extreme pain, to now running and dancing and playing tennis and living without pain. And it was a long journey because I did this work very, very frequently and I did lots and lots of lessons. But what I found was every single time I did a lesson, I felt better. My brain had learned something. My movements had radically changed. My pain had improved and decreased. And so it motivated me. I wanted to do it again. And I kept wanting to do it again because I kept seeing dramatic changes, just like most of you have probably seen today. So I really encourage you, I'm going to send the recording out at the end of the week. I really encourage you to do this lesson again at least once this week or next week or some point in the next few weeks. The more often you do this lesson, the easier it will get and the more dramatic the changes will be and the more permanent the changes will be. So doing it once, you will see a change and most of it will stick. But if you do it two or three more times in the next few weeks, you'll see a very permanent change in the way your upper back moves. And this is a lesson that you can come back to very often. It's actually one that I do, I play with all the time. So thank you all so much for doing the class, and I'll see you all next week. I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't decided yet what lesson we'll do, but I'm sure it'll be another delicious one. So I'll see you guys. Have a lovely, lovely week. Bye.